this. This is your wake-up call.
Wake the fuck up. The Breakfast Club. The show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earn that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the mother... We in the
That was Drake with Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Andy Cohen. Good morning, sir.
How's it going?
Talk about The Real Housewives.
Okay.
Show that, now, you created
my favorite show.
Executive producer.
My favorite show, yeah.
Now, how did you get the idea of the show? How did it come about?
I work with a great team of people, and this guy brought us video of these women in Orange County. Uh-huh. This was years ago.
Right.
You know, whatever his idea for the show was and whatever ours was, I'm a big fan of soap operas. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I was like, these women, their hair is blonder than I've ever seen. Their boobs are bigger. They talk to each other differently than I've ever seen. And they all live on the same block in the same cul-de-sac. I was like, this could be a soap opera, a reality soap opera in some weird way. And that's what it became, you know? And with the success of Orange County, we had casting for other shows in other cities. I think Atlanta was originally called The Girls of Hotlanta or something, Hotlanta. Mm-hmm. And we were like, wait a minute, these are doing so well. What if this is The Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Right.
And that's how we turned casting tape into something totally different.
At one point, Envy, wasn't your wife supposed to be on Real Housewives of New Jersey?
They reached out a couple of times.
That is true. I remember this from the casting.
Yeah.
Remind me what your wife's name is.
Gia. Gia.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What happened?
Well, we didn't decide to do it.
I never even asked you because I remember you guys.
I remember this from the casting. Yeah, absolutely.
They came by. We're neighbors with Teresa.
Yep.
Before Teresa got on there, our daughters.
Did Teresa still have that house?
Yeah, she still has.
Yeah, she does.
But has any cast member had to ask for money? Because it seems like when they go on that show,
had to ask for money.
Yeah.
Well, they all get paid.
Oh, so there's no advances or anything like that? Because sometimes
They get paid at a very specific time, and there are no advances.
There's no advances.
It's not, can you cut me a check for the reunion now?
Okay. Now, percentage-wise, how many people would really be stunting, like, if you could, say, rented a house just for the sake of...
Who lying about the money?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know, it's interesting because it's hard to lie in New York and Beverly Hills, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you see the home... Just the real estate prices are higher.
Right.
But I mean, I feel like in Atlanta, you could get a lot more for less and you could rent more for less. So, but in the case of kind of Chateau Charest on Atlanta, if you now see that house, she owns it, she built it. It's, by the way, it's like 6 years in the making. So maybe it hasn't gone as quickly as she would have liked.
No.
But that's a huge, that I think she said it was like 15,000 square. It's a crazy huge house, and that house is hers.
Now, what's your favorite one? Is it Jersey?
You know what? It's usually the one that I'm watching as a producer. So right now, I'm watching Atlanta and Beverly Hills.
And Atlanta's the highest rated.
Atlanta's the highest rated. Yeah. Atlanta makes me laugh. Atlanta and New York make me laugh the most.
Okay.
There's something about them that I just can't get over.
NeNe Leakes, was she the biggest?
No.
Bethany Frankel?
No, I think NeNe and Bethany and Lisa Vanderpump, Teresa, Vicky, Ramona. I think if you look at some of the OGs who have been on, you know, for the longest, those are the ones that are most identifiable. But, you know, you've got it's a strong bench. Mm-hmm. You got Kyle, you got Gigi Hadid's mom, Yolanda Foster. I mean, there are people who are really, you know, have become very famous from the show. Candy, by the way, Candy is like, Candy's got like 4 million Instagram followers. I was like, whoa. Like,
I mean, Candy was popping before, though.
Candy was popular before with Escape. And, she's someone who is really, you cannot, her popularity on the show, she's huge.
Now, what's your contracts like? Do you get a piece of everything? Like when Bethany goes to do daytime TV?
I think they are different with everybody. But the cool thing for the women about the shows is that they wind up being able to capitalize on the platform in many, many ways. I think that Bravo celebrates that.
Do husbands get paid?
No
husbands. Sorry, guys.
It's about the women.
The
women.
Why don't you get flack for, like, how, say, Mona Scott Young would get flack or Shawnee O'Neal would get flack? They don't ever give you flack when people are on your show wild.
Yeah, there's usually such a stigma with reality shows, and I feel like with the Real Housewives, it's not as bad.
Because I think, and by the way, I haven't really, to be totally honest with you, ever seen Love and Hip Hop.
You know who Mona Scott Young is?
Yeah, no, of course I do. Yeah, no. Yeah, of course I do. I get the sense that that show is a little more intense.
Ratchet.
Than The Housewives of Atlanta. So, I don't know.
You say ratchet. It's not a racial
story. All right. Yeah, no, I
don't.
Know.
Ratchet,
I'm just not going to be quoted as saying that show is more ratchet than mine.
Ladies ratchet.
There's ratchet stuff on both.
Yeah.
Phaedra's, you know, Apollo was a little...
Yeah, no, I'm not... listen... I have not seen the show. I am not saying that. So, but you're asking me why I don't get,
yeah, you don't get
more
flack. Like Mona
more
gets flack.
I don't know. Listen, I've gotten my share of flack.
Right.
I think the other thing is there is a moment of ratchet in every city. Mm-hmm. So this is, so in other words, if it was like, oh no, the only ratchet is happening. You know, listen, we all have ratchet in our lives at one moment or another. It's not only women of color that have, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. We have more with Andy Cohen when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Andy Cohen in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
Let's talk about Watch What Happens Live for a little bit. You told Entertainment Tonight that you feel like you went too far with Oprah when you asked her if she's ever been with a woman. Don't ever feel bad about asking questions everybody thinks.
Yeah, no, listen, that's what I do. That's what I like to do. And yeah, no, there was just a moment where I asked the question. It was my interview with her was going so well. And then I was like, you know what? I ask all these women this. I'm just going to go for it. This is going so great. I'm like, Oprah, have you ever swum in the lady pond? Well, I mean, my words hung in the air there for a second. And then Gail emailed me the next day and said, I don't think she knew what that meant, to tell you the truth. She goes, because Oprah, there is this quizzical look on Oprah's face. You see it. And then, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Did I just ruin it? And
so
she's like,
moved on?
No. She goes, no. And I said, okay, that's cool. I ask everybody. And then I moved on. But yeah.
You also got Oprah irritated before, too, because you told her, she told you one interview.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was many. That was in my first book. Yeah. That's kind of a long story, but I did. Yeah, but she's in the new book, which is called Superficial, More Adventures from the Andy Cohen Diaries. Mm-hmm. I'm on tour with Anderson Cooper. He and I go around the country doing this Q&A. Yeah, we're good buddies. And we kind of interview each other on stage. It's like a night out drinking with us, basically. And we were in Santa Barbara, and I'd gotten tickets through Gail for Oprah's flight attendant to see my show. Yes, Oprah has a flight attendant.
Okay.
Because she's got a plane.
That's right.
And so we were in Santa Barbara, and I was saying to Anderson, I was looking at Oprah's Instagram. I was like, dude, she's here. I saw a picture from her porch in Santa Barbara. I was like, I recognize that from the Legends Ball. Like, I want to go there. I want her to invite me for a shot of tequila. And the next morning, we wake up separately, but I woke up and I know, and that sounded weird. I woke up and there was an email and a text from Gail saying, Oprah wants you to come over for brunch today to the house. I was like, this is like my complete and total fantasy, going to Oprah's for brunch. I get to like see she and Stedman interacting at close range. And
what'd she serve?
And no, dude, I had to fly back to New York because I had my show is live.
Andy.
My show is live.
Andy,
no, dude. I cannot miss my show.
It's Oprah.
I have to go. To drop another name. I was emailing Sarah Jessica Parker, who's a good friend of mine. I go, I got invited to Oprah's. And
phone.
I go, and I couldn't go. She goes, don't worry, you'll be invited again. I go, you don't understand. I won't.
No.
This is not, I'm never going to be in Santa Barbara with Anderson where she is. Like, this is never happening again.
So, Andy, you sure Anderson not your boo? Have you ever swam
He's
in
not
his
my
man
boo.
Pool?
Nope, we have never. We were, the way that he and I met is that we were set up on a blind date like 20-something years ago, and we spoke on the phone, and he said that I was too, he could tell that I was gesticulating wildly on the phone, and that was too much for him, which is my read that I was like being too queenie or something for him on the phone. And and I was like, all right, well, I thought it went well, you know, but whatever. We, you know what? We were not meant. We're good buddies.
Right.
We're
no good. Ever.
No. And you know what? We could probably have gotten into some really fun things.
Even
but
now,
no.
when y'all are more mature, you don't think y'all could be right for each other?
No. Right?
Yeah, it would be a train, I guess. But we wouldn't be. Our cars wouldn't be connected.
Did you ever have to do anything sexual for career advancement?
Unfortunately, not. Yeah. No, I mean, I've always been open for business. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, like, I wish someone viewed like, oh man, thanks guys, appreciate it.
You gotta invite Gia back on the show, man. I want to see Envy and Gia on Real Housewives.
I know.
I don't know about that. They go through a lot of problems over there, boy.
I know. That's putting it on blast. That's right.
I don't know if I'm built for that one.
Yeah.
And then I'll be texting you all the time.
Yes, you will. I don't know if I need that.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Andy Cohen is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. We have a special guest here. We've been waiting for this young lady.
That's right. We requested.
Because we are fans of the show Insecure on HBO. And I'm not going to mess up your name. It's Issa Rae.
Yes.
Good for you.
Bow.
There we
bow,
go.
Bow, bow. Boom. Now, who is Issa Rae for people who don't know?
The self-proclaimed awkward black girl who has a show on HBO now.
That's a big deal.
Writer, producer. Awkward black girl.
They don't usually give black people in general, but black women on HBO, a show that you're starring in, you executive produced, right?
Created.
I mean, it's been a long ass journey.
I heard, like 2 years, right?
Well, with them, 3 years, mm-hmm. but like, you know, I've been doing this for about 9 years. The first YouTube series I ever created was in 2007 when I was a senior in college. Mm-hmm. And then Awkward Black Girl is the series that kind of defined me and launched my career, and that was in 2011. But I had two other ones before that one that, you know, were moderately successful, but this one by far is what launched my career.
So you like an internet star. We don't give internet stars enough credit because it's always like the A-Towns and...
It is. You know what I mean? Those are the real...
You just compare her to A-Towns.
No, I'm just saying, like, he's a certified. Like, she got an HBO show out of this.
Yeah, but I still don't... I'm just never an internet star because they have, like, millions of viewers every day. Like, people don't really check for series in the same way that they do, like, one-offs or blogs or personalities. Right. Mm-hmm. So... we very much had to build from the ground up, and I credit, you know, for sure the viewers of this show, of Awkward Black Girl, for the reason that I have a show on HBO now, for sure.
So when you gonna start acting regular? You still on Tumblr, you still on social media, you still be talking to people. I mean, when you gonna stop acting regular?
That is pretty regular.
I don't know.
It's gonna come a point. Season 2 or 3, you're gonna be like, all right, I can't just tweet with you.
When did you stop acting regular? You still do the same thing.
I know,
He still be going back and forth. Listen, Charlamagne gets too upset about things. And you do too. I see you, like in your book, you analyze people's tweets. I saw you wrote about how you got upset because a stripper got mad at you.
Yeah.
What happened?
And I didn't even understand.
I ain't read the book. I got to read the book, man. That's on my to-do list this weekend.
I was watching the Grammys, and I tweeted something where I was saying, oh, somebody was performing.
If you were a stripper, you would come out to UNITY, and you would be a...
And I would come out in a pantsuit.
Yeah.
because... I can't remember. I think I said a respectable stripper, which in hindsight, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But she was like, oh, how brave of you to come out, not like all of us whores. And she just went in. And I didn't understand it at the time. I was like, I wasn't coming for you.
And then she went to her page and saw who she was. And then said, listen, when you guess it, because I guess she had said she was sleep deprived and couldn't sleep.
Yeah. So I was trying to be empathetic. I was like, I went to her page and read her tweets. And she was like, you know, talking about how she hadn't gotten sleep. And so I was like, hey, we should talk about this when you get some sleep, grumpy and grumperson. And she was like, we should talk about this when you get some empathy, you whorephobic asshole. And then she blocked me.
There's a thing called whorephobia? There's too many phobias.
But wait, listen to this.
It just is.
So not only did she get blocked, then she went to another page to go look at her tweets because she was blocked.
You really was like, upset? You upset the stripper?
I was just like, why does she do that? Yeah. And I didn't understand why, but I made her upset. And like now, 3 years later, I'm like, okay, like I get why you were upset. And you had a right to be upset. It's because I'm coming at your world, and I'm coming in a way from like speaking like I'm above it. But of course, like I don't like to upset people. Now I'm realizing, like,
they
no matter what I do.
You cannot please everybody ever in life. Everybody. There's always going to be people to say rude stuff to you. If I go to everybody's page, sometimes I do just to be like, somebody like, oh, you're so ugly. And then you go look at their page and you're like,
your life.
All right, now.
Right.
Don't y'all, I feel better.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't y'all think y'all too accepting as women, though, sometimes? Because it's okay for, like, growing up, moms and grandmas would be like, yo, they wouldn't want you to be no stripper. They would tell you, respect yourself. So what's wrong with you telling that to somebody now?
Because that's one of the, one that's not my place, and there's an assumption there that she doesn't have respect for herself.
And I think plenty of strippers and ex-strippers who are cool people, popping.
Yeah, who just want to do that. And, like, there is a talent associated with stripping. Like,
yeah,
there
I
is.
Do. I don't like strippers that don't have talent, though, because...
yeah,
no,
think
but
that's
seriously,
a different
there's some strippers that just, like, walk around. I like when they can do stuff, like, have tricks.
I don't
and
like strippers
dance,
that
and...
don't have goals. Seriously, like, you have to have a goal. Like, I have to be an end
like,
goal
if you're
for
be,
stripping.
Be
you
a
can't
great
strip forever.
Stripper.
Same way you tell drug dealers you can't sell dope forever. You can't be a stripper forever.
Well, then there's, like, at least, like, promotions in drug dealing. That's
right.
Like, you can get to, you can aspire to.
You don't
want to
be, like, the one on the corner. You'd rather be the one that supplies the one on the
right,
plate.
Right, right, right. But,
real.
Like, what is the, I guess, what's the kingpin strip level?
There's no queenpin stripper. That's
yes,
real.
The queen, because you could be the featured act. And you can also travel to other places.
Oh, and
make
like
money.
Perform
yeah.
in Dubai or like for Saudi. Right,
and
princes.
You don't want to be like the Monday at 11 in the morning stripper. You'd rather be Friday
like
night, Saturday night featured when everyone comes or they're big. If they have a big night that night, you want to be the one that's there.
But you
there.
Can't still do it forever. The same way when rappers come here and they over 40 and they still acting like thugs and street dudes. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, you gotta elevate.
Like, come on.
Right.
So you just answered your own question. There is a level of respect.
All right, we got more with Issa Rae when we come back. Please watch Insecure on HBO every Sunday at 10:30. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. We're here with Issa Rae. You can watch her every Sunday at 10:30 on HBO with her show Insecure. I have a level of respect for you because you're so dope and you're smart, but I have my level just went up because you still have the tag on your coat. And
oh, you
that's the type
that?
Of person I am. Like, I am that. You gave me this to wear for an appearance.
I came to New York
yes.
for this. But I do love this clothing company. Shout out to Theory.
Yeah. Now, I wanted your opinion on this. You got it, Q?
These Spanish and these white hoes, they just start getting finer than a mother. Y'all black hoes better tighten up. Y'all doing all that extra for nothing. You get your ass done, your done, and you're paying $150 to get your makeup done just to go to a motherfucker, a local club. These Spanish and these white hoes is getting very spiffy on y'all. They around and learn how to fry chicken. You hoes is useless.
Let's see if this media training been working. How you feel about that?
I mean, I just want to know what black woman listened to that and was like, oh, shit, gotta tighten up. Because Trick Daddy said so. Like, no.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, who's this message?
It kind of went
listened
in and
to
out.
That and who did it get through to? Because I didn't listen to it and go, oh, shit.
You know.
Well, he's spoken.
He doesn't
you know?
Want me.
He doesn't want me. God dang it. I'm going to lose Trick Daddy.
I gave Donkey the Day the trick, but I was talking to women too. I'm like, why do y'all? It's Trick Daddy.
He's going to say what he says.
Right.
I don't agree.
He loves the kids.
But I also don't care. He loves the kids. He also loves the hoes.
Right.
And people constantly come for us. Mm. People constantly come for black women. And yes, I can understand the anger because it's like all the time people are coming for us. But he does not matter.
Listen, we could sound like this. You got this clip? I love playing problematic stuff for you.
I just got into a big debate with this female because I'm on speakerphone with my Nick, and he say, where the hoes at? And I'm like, well, it's a couple over here right now. She get mad, talking about, ain't no hoes over here. But I'm like, look, I wasn't calling y'all hoes individually. The hoes is any group of females. I don't give a if it's Oprah and Gail, SWV, if it's Destiny's Child, if it's a group of hoes, it could be CeCe Winans and her sisters. If they together, they the hoes. Stop getting mad because we use the right term. Like, when a goose by itself, it's a goose. But when it's a bunch of gooses, them is geese. So you think it's a goose out here mad as hell when they look at them geese? And she like, no, ain't no geese is over here, bitch.
It's a little logic
that's
there.
That's really, really stupid. It's so stupid. It's really, really stupid. But that's his logic. That's his truth.
It works for Charlamagne.
No, that's stupid. I didn't understand that at all. I didn't get that at all. I mean, I like it because there's nothing more entertaining to me than that type of
that
stuff.
That is...
But no.
So, but yeah, he's functioning in life, so... Good for him.
I just pray HBO is giving you the support you need.
They're giving me 100% support. Mm-hmm. Like, all my LA friends have hit me like, oh, I just seen a billboard.
Yeah,
oh,
no. Definitely.
And even out here.
I saw you on a bus.
I just saw me on a bus this morning. It was my first time seeing me on a bus.
And I had a lot of people hitting me up about it, too, even before. Yeah.
And then it's good. The work speaks for itself at the end of the day. Like, it's a great show. Like, me and my wife, I don't do too much appointment TV. Insecure every Sunday at 10:30.
Thank you guys for all of the love.
Look, come anytime. Promote whatever you want to promote. Absolutely.
We appreciate it. We know by season two you might be over us, but you know.
Are you? I'm a legit fan, y'all. I watch all the interviews. Well, most of them.
You saw when you made Little Mama cry?
I did not make Little Mama cry.
Of course
cry.
I saw that.
That was 6 years ago. That was Angela Yee. I did not do that. That was not one of my proudest moments. Black women will not let me forget that.
But it produced one of the greatest memes ever. That meme where she has the tears in her eyes is the best.
See, this is my thing. This is why it's confusing.
No. I still don't think you should have gone.
Okay.
That was
right.
You were very
confused.
It was like if Lemonade was made just via that meme because it's so appropriate for so many things.
I think I truly feel sorry now. At the time she came back, I still wasn't like, I don't feel like I did anything wrong. But now I feel like I was like, you know, I was a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
We're growing.
I think that's part. You're allowed to grow.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I got two daughters, I'm married, but I just think I really did not know Black women felt the way they felt.
Right.
And I even think about like my mom, right? My mom used to be in her room listening to Lauryn Hill, X Factor, over and over.
Oh.
And I used to think she just used to like the song. But as I get older, I realize like, damn, my dad was really putting her through it. But she would never show us that. So I think that's one thing Black women do. They don't show, when they are down like that, they don't show it. So
that's
they're forced
like
to always be strong.
Song when you break up to listen to
it. Yeah.
X Factor just says,
even if you're not
so
going
much.
Through nothing, you
I
might
know it makes me want to go through something sometimes.
Somebody hurt me.
So, but it's like, as a man, we've been believing the illusion all these years that women are just Black women are just indestructible, unbeatable, but they go through it just like the rest of us.
Yeah, because y'all put us through it sometimes, and you know you do. So
we're all human. I don't know. Black women are amazing.
You sure?
But
play Trick Daddy clip again.
My hose is lit, okay? So I don't know about y'all. But no, I do think that, you know, we just want to show them being vulnerable and regular women.
Thank you, Issa Rae. Thank you for coming. It's The Breakfast Club.
That was For Free, DJ Khaled. Drake, morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yep.
Miss Regina Hall.
You're really fine in person, damn it.
Oh, thanks. See, you waited to tell me that on air, so now I'm
I mean, I knew you were fine on TV, and we always look at your pictures like, damn, she's fine, but no, you're really fine in person.
We actually both saw her at the...
I am.
But not only is she attractive and talented, but also funny with a good personality. As we've seen you display time and time again.
Yeah, you gave a great speech. What was that?
The Ween Awards.
The Ween Awards.
Y'all were at the Ween Awards?
I had gotten into a really bad car accident on the way there. I had to give Roxy hers.
Yeah. Oh, that's
But I still showed up, but I was real disheveled.
Yeah.
Is that when you got hit by a car?
Yes, by a bus.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Did you sue?
No. We took care of it. Their insurance took care of it. It wasn't that bad. It just had me
I would have still been maimed.
You're damn right.
She said I would have been maimed.
Get that money. Tried. Why not?
Now, the new movie, When the Bow Breaks. Tell us about this movie.
Are you going to go see it?
I feel like they keep making the same movie every 2 years.
I ain't ask you all that. I didn't ask him none of that. That was a yes or no. You could have even said maybe.
I posted a nice gift of you.
Now you gotta go. You did? Thank you.
Of you crying.
You know what? You've been going to see the same superhero movie. I bet you saw Captain Evil and Iron Man and Superman and Superman 2 and Superman versus Batman.
But it's always different
Batman hit Captain America.
Huh? Like, these movies all got the same plot line.
Wait, hold on. Do you know what the plot line is?
Crazy boyfriend, crazy man.
No, that's not what happens in this
movie.
It's
actually not what happens. That is true. That is not what happens.
Well, explain to the people what the movie's about.
Are you going to go see it?
Not really.
I'm going to go see it.
That's why they can't get more Black movies made.
This
black
is it.
People don't support Black movies.
First of all, Charlamagne.
Y'all don't have no dates. You got a ring.
I'm not a wife. I got 5 kids.
I hope your wife takes you to see it.
Charlamagne, you should see it just because he claims that he looks like Morris Chestnut.
You do not look like
that. Who claimed that? First of all, I don't claim that, okay?
Who claims that?
Who said it?
Do he look like Morris? Let's clear this up right now, Regina. Does he look like Morris Chestnut?
Let me look.
Hold on.
Do it again. Do it again. Let me see if it changes something.
Oh, you put some lotion on.
Tell us about the movie, please.
Okay.
Okay, so when the bow breaks, which everyone here is going to see, right. It's actually not what you think, and it's not the 10th time it's been made, but it's actually a thriller. It's about a couple who's been struggling with fertility, which is a really big... Well, you don't... He don't want to see it because he got five kids.
Very fertile.
You can't even understand the plot line, but this is about the woman, in this case, is struggling with infertility, but... So they decide to hire a surrogate.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, is that something you would ever consider? Like in real life?
Would I hire a surrogate?
Yeah.
I guess.
Not after this
You know,
movie.
She, I know. This Laura, who I play, she's had three miscarriages. So she's tried to carry her own child.
Gotcha.
And she just hasn't been able.
That would be something I'm concerned about, though, if you get a surrogate.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's something I would do.
No. The surrogate getting attached to the child. Right. That's just natural. That's just a natural thing to do.
That's true. But actually, you know, what happens is the legalities of it. Because the truth is...
Why did she take her jacket? Now Charlamagne looks like a pervert.
No, I'm not.
Charlamagne has to stop looking at you now. And you're a perv, man.
Why am I a pervert? Jesus Christ.
Oh, I like that shirt.
You want me to stand up so you can see my chest? Hold on. All right.
I just like that. Okay. That's a nice shirt.
Thank you. Love for free.
Love for free.
Costs nothing to love.
That's why you won't take them to the movies. It costs at least the movie to get some love. You at least got to you're not taking them on a date.
No, I'm married. I just, you know.
You're not going to take your wife to the movies?
I would go see it because you're in it.
There we go.
I'm serious. I would go see it because it's you and Mars Chestnut.
But did you see how supportive she is? She was like, I'm going.
I support
Until
black
you
movies.
Leave, nope, she'd be like, I'll wait till that come on Netflix. They show it rerun on TV one.
She had the courtesy to at least say she was going to go. I appreciate that.
I am going to go see it.
I do want to see it, though, only because you and Mars Chestnut in it.
Was the woman living in the house with you guys, the surrogate?
That's
a weird thing.
All right. The surrogate is actually engaged herself to be married. Mm-hmm. And she and her boyfriend have some issues. So she comes to live in our guest house.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So but at that point, my last embryo is in her body, so...
So y'all are rich. You guys have a guest house and everything.
We do well.
Okay. Now, you asking for your man to smash your chick if you move her on the property like that.
You think so?
That's a lot of temptation.
I don't think so. Not when I'm in the room.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not really threatened by it.
But did he smash her? I thought he did smash her looking at the preview.
You got to go ask your friends who go see the movie, because I know you're not going to see it. So when your friends go and they come back, y'all can ask her. You can ask her what happened.
Yes, I'll let you know. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say you did, you know, with your man. Would you have an issue with somebody, like another woman, being in the house with him if you're not home in real life?
Who does that?
Well, you know what? The thing is, the truth is, the intention was never that. Mm-hmm. The intention is she's a woman, a young girl who's engaged, and she lives with her fiancé, and they have their own life. But things that happen in the movie, which I cannot reveal right now.
She breaks up with her boyfriend or something.
No, it's actually not that. But she is forced, and we don't really have a choice, because at that point, it's the safety of the baby. And like I said, it is the last embryo. I think what it's more a testament to is what a woman will do when it comes to protecting or saving her child, whether it's unborn or not.
Okay.
All right, when we come back, we have more with Regina Hall. We're going to talk about roles in Hollywood. Is it bad for black women? We'll talk about it when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Regina Hall in the building. Now, Charlamagne.
Is it a lot of limited roles for black females, like they say?
I mean, I'm sure if people say it, then it exists, you know? I would never sit here, even if my experience wasn't that, to say no. I mean, you know, it's tough. It's competitive for any race. Even when there are more roles, it's a limited number of people that work, white, black, male, female. It's tough in general. But you wish there were more, but it's hard to be more when the people who look like you don't go see your movie.
I was going to ask you that, because people don't really support.
The problem is right here. But you know what? I'm going to say this. That's not true. Like, our movies actually do really well.
They do really
and
well.
And so our people really do support. I mean, there are exceptions.
I've seen every movie you're
in. You seen my hand? I don't mean on cable. I can watch it on cable.
I saw Paid in Full in theaters.
You did?
I saw it about last night in theaters.
Okay.
And I didn't go see the scary movies.
Did
that ain't really my thing.
Did you go see Think Like a Man?
I definitely saw Think Like a Man 1 and 2 in theaters.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. But yes, just not this one. Okay.
No, I'm not saying I'm not going to see this one.
You did. You did. No, I said, are you going to see it? And you said no.
It just seemed like I've seen this one. Like, it seemed like Michael
Ian. But I don't understand what movie
it's nothing like. It's nothing like Perfect Guy. You're just saying it because you saw Morris. Did it have to be these? Because I don't know why they're here.
now I'm not gonna lie. After I saw you at the Ween Awards and saw you give your speech and everything, I thought you were very engaging and very funny in real life. So I was like, let me go back and look at.
So she didn't even know you till last year.
See, I knew you
for a long time. She didn't know you till last year.
I always knew who Regina Hall was, but I never heard her personally outside of her roles speak. I thought she was very comedic, very funny, and very powerful. So I was like, okay, that's somebody I'm going to follow up on.
I agree with her.
And she's going to continue. And look,
I actually even came back to work and said that I thought she did a great job. And
you did.
And she really stood out.
You did.
Well, you know what? You inspired some, not all. Because these two.
It's not true.
But no, it's not like that. It's the same. You know, listen, a thriller is a thriller. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the plot lines are all the same. You kind of have to see it to see what the difference is.
Do you like dramatic roles or comedic roles?
I mean, I love them both. I mean, I didn't act to just play one.
Was there ever a point when you was playing Brenda on Scary Movie that you was like, I'm just going to do this for the check? This ain't really challenging. I'm just doing it.
No, I love playing Brenda. Some roles you do for fun. Like, I love Anna Faris. You know, at the first two, I love the weigh-in. So, you know, it doesn't have to be grueling to be good. And I think, you know, me and Anna did the first four. When they did the last one, you know, I did not do that one. That would have felt like it was for the check because I didn't have... You know, Cindy. Brenda needs Cindy, and that kind of inspiration that we kind of get off of each other to be able to work together and collaborate wasn't there. But no, I had fun. I mean, some things are just, you know, you're like, oh, I'm gonna go and get to have a good time for a few minutes.
Don't you think you outgrow some roles though? But in people's mind, you haven't. So like, they still run up on you like you Brenda or Shonda from Malibu Wanted.
Somebody ran up on me and they were like, oh my goodness, you Ace Boogie's baby mom. And I was like, I said, oh no, I'm sorry. You must have me confused with someone else. I had forgotten all about
you. Did that role?
You and Sanaa cool, right? Y'all close?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me show you.
It's like weird if you guys are ever up for like the same.
Let me show you what he want to ask you. Hold on.
No, we are. No, we're not. You know what? I'm sure we've been up for the same roles, but we're really supportive. Like, all right. You know, for my friends in the business, like, I'm always happy when she gets something. And
look, Regina.
No, because we kind of get.
I'll rock with you, so I ain't gonna do this to
okay.
you. We all put together questions before the interview.
Don't say we all.
That's what he wanted to ask.
So we have never been in a lesbian relationship. We are like sisters. The lesbian rumor started.
That's not me.
Because my house was being renovated. Sanaa was away working. I ended up, I think on an interview I said I'm living with Sanaa, which I was,
because
my house, which was supposed to take a month, ended up taking 3 months. It's funny because we actually laughed about the rumor. I think we made jokes about it all the time.
I never heard that until I saw it on that paper when they bought that. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I never heard that one ever in my life. Oh. Well, let me see that paper.
Yeah, you want to see?
You have kids?
Two daughters.
They yours?
I would hope so. As far as I know.
Okay. Are you raising it?
I would hope so. If not, hey, I'd love to stop fitting some of these bills.
No, that's good. What do you have?
I got 3 and 2.
She said, what do you have?
No, I meant gender. Gender.
I got 3 girls, 2 boys.
Okay.
I was a whole in past life.
No kids. Mm-hmm. I just was curious because, you know, I'd like to know what you have.
I was a whole in a past life, so hoes get blessed with daughters.
Mm. Like, daughters are pretty amazing.
Yes, until they start having sex and growing breasts. And it's a guy in the interview who can't stop staring at
you. You know what?
All right, well, make sure you guys go see the movie.
Yes, please go see When the Bow Breaks.
And it's in theaters.
No.
It's in theaters nationwide.
It's not straight to DVD.
TV One. No, I'm going to see it.
Are you going to go see it?
Yes.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. It's Miss Regina Hall.
Thank you, guys.
That was Bryson Tiller with Don't. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Goes by the name of Common.
Yep. Yo,
Black America Again.
Black America Again.
What exactly is Black America Again? I know that's the title of your album, but it seems like it's some type of movement.
It is. It's really a movement. It's like a call to action. I called it Black America Again because of, you know, all the injustices, the inequality, and the marginalizing of black people. We've been seeing that over and over since we've been in this country. That's how America treated us. But I'm also saying again because we're writing a new story, and it's up for us as black people and all people to support that new story, which is like just showing who we are as black people and showing the joy, the love, the creativity, which we always do. But I mean, it's just time for us to highlight that and just put that out there.
And you've been very active in getting people to sign up and register to vote and encouraging people to vote. And the election is next week.
Yeah.
Does anything make you nervous about this election?
I mean, not nervous, but the things I'm just being aware of is like, look, it's obvious that Hillary Clinton is the best candidate to be president right now. It's just about, for me and us, just holding her accountable for the things that she says that she's going to do. Like, we should hold all politicians accountable, like local, state level, you know, like we got to hold them all accountable. And that means like showing up. If she ain't doing something, we got to stand on that and let her know. Like, but I'm going to try to have faith in the fact that she's going to try to do some things, because obviously the mass incarceration was one thing that a lot of people were concerned with. And,
absolutely,
you know, she acknowledged that was a misstep, and it wasn't her particularly, but she supported it and was talking that super predator stuff.
Right.
But hopefully she trying to clear that up. We all grow, right?
Did you consciously say, let me put out Black America again right before the election?
Yeah, I was, because I wrote it like back in March, and I was rapping in different places and churches and different things. And actually, I was talking with Ava DuVernay, who directed them.
13.
Yeah, the 13. Yeah. The 13th is strong, man.
Fire.
And she was like, man, this is powerful. You got this music coming election year. You should put it out around that time. And it just honestly kind of worked out. You know, I had to get everything together and get everything organized, and it did. It was strategic at that point to be like, look, this needs to come out around the election time.
Now, what's Love Start? Your hashtag Love Start. I see you using that a lot.
Yeah, I use that. I mean, the Love Start is a song I did on the album. It's me and Marsha Ambrosius and this girl PJ. Very dope. And, you know, it's just another way of calling it. It's another term of affection to your girl or something. Like, that's my Love Star right there. So I just, it's just a song.
You wrote it for Regina Hall?
Nah, man, Regina, that's just my people. That's just my buddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You guys broke up already?
Nah. We never was in that space. You know, that's just like somebody I care about as a friend. We work together.
Right.
And, you know, I'm right now, I'm just single, so.
You saw it on the blogs, though.
I know, I saw
y'all
it.
Y'all met at Barbershop 3.
One week and broke up on the blogs the next week.
I know, I seen
it. No, they didn't break up on the blog yet, but he did say he's single, so yeah. Maybe they just never.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, point blank, just friends. She funny. She's super cool, beautiful.
She did come up here and say she had a man, though.
Oh, yeah?
She was.
I mean, well, I don't know. Like, she probably does. She probably does, but, you know, that's my buddy, and I'm single, so, you know.
Jesus Christ, Colin. Did you have to let her know like that on the Breakfast Club?
Goodness gracious.
Comic gets linked to everybody, boy. I remember you were linked to Laura Dern at one point, and then you were like, look, we just worked on something together. We went to dinner. You can't even go to dinner.
He's having a good time out here.
Yeah, man. I mean, let me tell you, like, Laura Dern is actually an actress that I worked with in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I was in the same acting class, too. So, and I've known her for a while. So, friends, you know, look, at certain points when you're working with people, you're going to go out, you hang out with them. You know, it don't necessarily mean you with them.
Mm. Charlamagne, French Montana Common, which one you rather be? Because, you know, we talk about French Montana Common being linked to all these beautiful women. Which one?
Charlamagne, I got a nice group of women that I.
Oh yeah, you got a great stage.
I got a great credit.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd rather be Common, because Common more discreet with it.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't have the reputation as a hoe.
Yeah. Man, that's a good answer.
Yeah, like
that's a good answer.
He's like a gluten-free hoe. Like a vegan hoe. Like, he said, you know what I'm saying?
Like, hey. He says sweet things like Love Star. And
Look,
this is the thing you would have to, this is the thing you could ask any of my exes. We still cool. It's still love. You know what I'm saying? I talk to them, mm-hmm. and it's always love, whether it's Serena, Erica, Taraji.
See, that's the thing. You got more classics than French. French only got one classic under his belt. That's the knot. You just named three classics, bro.
Yeah.
Like three classics that men have sat around and been like, whoa. Yeah, those are the ones.
But do you text after you see Serena dance with Beyonce? Do you just text and be like, hey, big head?
No, I tell her she looked good. I was like, yo, you snapped in that.
Yeah. I got to look up this Rihanna quote for Common, though, that she said.
Rihanna said something about Common, too?
No.
What did she say?
She said, none of my exes are married or in happy relationships, so it's safe to say I wasn't the problem.
You got to honor that.
All right, we got more with Common. When we come back, don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Needed Me, Rihanna. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Commons in the building.
Hey, you're producing a show about 90s rappers going through a midlife crisis. Have you ever went through that?
Oh, man, yeah, for sure. I've been through some times where I'm like, man, where... You know, like, where do I fit in? Because
there was one time when it was the Koofy time when
that's when my dude had him going crazy.
I was confused at that time,
man. But you know, for me,
Electric
I was just
circus.
Yeah, for me, yeah. You always reference
you
that.
You always say that every time he comes up. He's like, all right, we know.
But hey, but you know what I can say about that? If that's the one that Charlamagne bring up, then I'm good because I got a stack
of body of work.
I got you know so and you know every piece is not going to always get to people, but my thing is, like, as a person, mm-hmm. you got to evolve the way you evolve. Like, you got to grow into the things. And sometimes you go look back. I can look back and laugh at some of the pictures that, you know,
right.
the way I was dressing
we
and stuff. but it's still, you know, it's still like, man, this is who I was. I still embrace it. I still stand behind Electric Circus like I do B or like I will with Black America again because that's who I was at that time.
Mm-hmm. I always say it's easier for guys like you to evolve in hip-hop, though, because you never claim to be the street rappers. The street rappers are the ones you see going through the midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Because they still got the hoodies on at 45, still ice grilling, still mean mugging. Like, you're an adult. You've been carrying yourself like an adult.
Yeah, I think that, man, I think that's, like, sometimes you can get stuck in a thing, like, when you, like, first come out and you say, oh, this is who I am. And if you don't show that true evolution, you start saying, all right, I'm going to make this music because people already like me doing that instead of just going where you go with it. The artists that I've seen evolved, they evolved, like, as human beings, like, and then you see that coming out through their music. So if you stand in where you truly are, I think you can evolve and grow and be that artist that has a career.
Now, you spent a lot of time in the White House doing a lot of positive things, and the Black community, a lot of the Black community, not too happy with Barack Obama. They feel like he really didn't hold down his community. What are your thoughts on Barack Obama and how he did in 8 years?
I feel that the president came in with the intention to do a lot of great things for the community, for Black people, and I feel like he hit a lot of walls dealing with the politics that's there within Congress and all. I don't think he was even knew that it was going to be that much resistance because people... You know, it was like,
everything
Barack,
you want
Barack.
To do, we're going to shut it down.
Yeah.
The Republicans.
The Republicans
like,
shut it.
Anything pass.
Yeah, so I think he was there. I think he might, at some point, might have got tired. Some points he had to probably deal with politics the way it goes. But I always felt his intention in his heart was to help Black people. And he's still doing it. He had a meeting. He had a meeting for My Brother's Keeper, which is his initiative mm-hmm. that's helping out young Black people. It was me, Rick Ross, A$AP Rocky, Alicia Keys, Chance the Rapper, Nicki Minaj, all sitting in the White House. Talking about like prison reform, talking real stuff in there. He sat with us for like 4 hours.
He said with no Secret Service, no nothing. And Rick Ross ankle bracelet kept going up.
Yeah, it did go off. It went off. Oh, yeah, the president was like, he's like, what's that? And Rick Ross just came out like, that's my bracelet, you know, like. And then the president was like, man, you really keeping it real, huh? And he was like, man, I need to know because, you know, you never know what's going on when you hear these things. Yeah, it was just beeping noise. Like, you could tell he's in tune and really does care. So I think his presidency, if you look at him, at what he's done just symbolically too, man, he's changed the world, man. Not any kid feel like they could at least be president. They at least, mm-hmm. they know that they could be president. Like, so I think, you know, that in itself is already a change in the world.
That's what I feel like Hillary's presidency will do too. Because I think about my daughter. My daughter's 8.
Yeah.
So all she's seen is Barack. Now she sees Hillary. She don't even know that standard of an old white man in authority.
That's what I love. I mean, you know, I feel like, man, it'd be great to see a woman rule, you know, and be the head of the state. Like, I think things would be better, and we need that energy, and we do want our daughters to see that.
Absolutely.
Like,
you've always been socially conscious, but now that you're older and more mature, what do you feel like your responsibility is?
My responsibility is to speak the words of God, to activate and inspire people through the art and through being an activist. As long as there's people that's hurting out there or there's inequalities out there, my responsibility is to speak up and be active towards changing that situation. That's my responsibility.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed one.
So like a donkey?
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
All right, Donkey of the Day goes to a young lady named Malika and all you desert thirsty-ass Negroes who are trying to get dates with Doodoo Girl. Oh, you don't know who Doodoo Girl is? Well, her name is Malika, ladies and gentlemen, okay? She goes by the name of @_Blotty on Twitter. Now, I can't even do this story without feeling a little sick because if it's one thing I hate, it's seeing feces in a toilet bowl. I can't stand it. I hate when I walk in a public restroom and somebody forgot to flush. It just makes my skin crawl just thinking about it, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't even look at my own poop. When I handle my business,
you should.
You know how Dr. I says your poop should be S-shaped in a normal color?
Right.
I wouldn't know if mine is. Okay? I don't care. To me, it's called waste for a reason. I don't care what it looks like. I don't want to see it, and I damn sure don't want to see anyone else's. So with that said, you should know how much this story of this young lady, Malika, disgusts me now. If you haven't heard the story, I'll give you a quick recap.
Her name is Mikella.
Well, whatever. Okay? Maybe I'm a little dyslexic. Mikella.
Go ahead.
Met a man in a grocery store, went back to his house, and decided she needed to use that man's bathroom. She tweeted, "I am a confident, calm, self-assured woman, so I felt comfortable pooping in his bathroom." Now, how you just met a man in a grocery store, don't know him from a can of Lysol, and just go back to his house? That's first and foremost. You can be confident, calm, self-assured, all of that, but don't be a donkey. You don't know this dude. He could be a serial killer, a rapist. You just don't go home with some man you met in the produce section at Whole Foods, okay? But the story doesn't stop there, no. This trusting-ass woman actually used this man's bathroom. Not just used this man's bathroom, pooped in this man's toilet.
Blew it up.
Now, this is why you don't invite random strangers to your crib. I don't even poop in my friend's bathroom. So imagine how I would feel if a total stranger came in my crib, used my bathroom, and did a number 2 in my toilet. That's just disrespectful. Okay? We don't know each other like that. Now, what happened next to me is just kind of karma. See, old boy's toilet wasn't working, so Malika, in a panic, went and got her purse, wrapped the poo up, put it in her purse, and then she heard a toilet flush in another part of the house, so she went to the other bathroom in the house, dumped it in the toilet, and flushed it. It's just all too much, okay? This is the prime example of oversharing on social media, but whatever. Thank you, Malika, for the content. Now, let's get to all you desert-thirsty Negroes on social media. After hearing that story, I'm disgusted. Okay, all I keep thinking about is what her purse smells like. Did she wipe her ass? I would bet no. Okay, any person who randomly leaves a grocery store with a complete stranger and then poops in that complete stranger's house probably didn't wipe her ass, but that is not stopping you Negroes from shooting your shot. Okay, in the New York Daily News yesterday, it was an article with the headline, "Woman who hid poop in purse says men keep asking her out." Who are you guys? I'm reading these tweets. This one guy from the UK named John Claude says, "Heard about your date gone wrong. Can't stop laughing. When you come to the UK, I would love to buy you a cheeseburger." Now, why would you offer anyone with loose bowels dairy? Huh? Another dude named @HeyValo said, "Hey, you are my hero." How? I can name 3 women who are heroes before Doodoo Girl. You got Elektra on Daredevil, you got Wonder Woman, you got Claire Huxtable. How is Doodoo Girl your hero? Another dude on Twitter said, "Marry me. Best story ever." In what world does a woman pooping in a stranger's bathroom, wrapping it up in a tissue, and then taking it to another toilet, in what world does that make you want to marry her? What's the girl name?
Mikella.
Mikella. Mikella tweeted, "Wow. All of the hard work I put into being a hot girl is tarnished by one teeny tiny poop story. Now I'm just poop girl." Yes. Yes, you are. That's exactly what you are. And all these guys trying to date you are a bunch of poop butt ass suckers with no standards. Like, damn, bruh. I'm not saying she's not cute. I see her picture. But this story is not appealing. Nothing about this story would attract me to her. Okay? At least let her purse air out first. Let her purse freshen up first. Okay? I can't say the S word. So I'll just say the same way real recognizes real, doo-doo recognizes doo-doo. Okay, please give, what's the girl name?
Mikella.
Please give Mikella and all the dudes who want to date her the biggest hee-haw, please. I'm just saying, there's plenty of other chicks for y'all to fake propose to on social media. Okay, you got Beyonce's fake cousin, Christian Douglas, out there. You got Sasha Del Valle. You got Bernice Burgos. Go fake love them.
You a perv.
Not doo-doo girl.
All right.
I'm not a perv. I'm just an admirer of nice things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
everyone
thank you
poops,
for
by the way.
Donkey of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, but everyone don't poop in random strangers' houses that they met at the grocery store and then wrap it up in a tissue and take it to another bathroom and flush it in the toilet. And then tweet about it.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
We got a really special guest. We always say special guest. This is a really special guest.
He was a little late, but there was a reason why he was a little late.
Yeah.
He couldn't find a parking spot for the Lamborghini. I'm not mad at him for that.
He had a park right in front of the building, but we made it work.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, guys.
We're glad you drove your most humble car here this morning.
I didn't want to bring the Bugatti out. You know, you got potholes in New York the size of end tables, man.
Now, Tracy came in here with the four-finger ring. I ain't going to front you. That's beautiful, brother.
Thank you.
That make me want one at all.
Ever since I saw LL, you know what I'm saying? I always wanted one. I got one.
He got one now.
Yeah, I got one.
That was a bit, man. It's glad to finally see you. We haven't seen you in such a long time.
Well, we spoke to you on the phone, but we haven't had a chance to sit down in person.
I'm so glad to be in studio with you guys because I have a lot of fun when I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You always pique my interest in all of those questions and all of that. And I just been, when I was on a couch for like a year and a half, I was listening and watching.
Word. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Now, I saw you on The View, man, saying that you feel funnier than ever before, and you said you feel like you talked to Richard Pryor.
I like to say that, you know.
Yeah.
I was up there at the party, and Richard was there, and Lucille Ball was there, and Gleason was there, and George Garland, and then God said it was time to go. And I look back at Richard, because I didn't want to leave him, and he just winked his eyes and said, stay funny. So I took that and rolled with it.
That was a real vision? Like, you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if I was in a coma or anything. I was heavily sedated, you know, because I pulverized my femur. I broke every bone in my face, so it was a lot of pain. It was a lot of pain.
Now, you are in the Richard Pryor biopic, right?
Yeah, I'm playing Red Fox.
Red Fox. I said, now, Jay-Z is signed on to
produce that. You too dope to play Red Fox, Tracy?
Nah. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to do an impression.
Got you.
I'm trying to channel him.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Just like Jamie did Ray. He didn't do an impression. He did Ray on Hebron. So that's a dark place.
Right, it is.
And you want to go to, you got to know how to get to that dark place. That's all emotion. That's great acting. That has nothing to do with makeup. The acting is great. You'll see past that. And you'll see the aura. You'll be like, whoa.
That's real.
You see the spirit of that person.
What have you been doing to prepare for Red Fox?
All my life. Right. Who didn't watch Sanford and Son? But you have to study him off the stage to know him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, they'll provide me with footage and, you know, and introduce me to people and all those things. I'm quite sure.
Oh, so you never got a chance to meet Red?
Red was gone, but I knew people who did his taxes and knew him personally, and Eddie, and you know, you be around people like that to tell you stories.
Is that why you came in there clutching your heart?
No. I was clutching my heart because it's just a joy to be here.
But
when you got into the accident, you were just telling us all the stuff that you broke. I didn't know you broke that much.
A lot of people didn't know. Mm-hmm. I was well insulated.
They didn't really tell that part.
I was well insulated.
Wow.
Nobody needed to know.
Wow.
Nobody needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me heal. Nobody. I know we living in age where it's all about information. Nobody needed to know that.
Right.
Nobody needed to see no pictures of me in no coma. I don't care about none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, my wife, and I ain't having that.
Mm.
Ain't having that. Ain't nobody taking no pictures of nothing. Let that man heal.
Damn right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely.
But people don't take life serious enough. But if you go in a coma 10 days, you'll see. You'll see. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. You think about it. You think about not being here no more.
Mm.
It's done. All your loved ones or your family or your enemy, you ain't never going to see them again. So I thank God I'm here. People say all the time, God is good. I say you wrong. God is everything.
Mm.
He good, bad, and ugly. You don't want to mess with him. If you think Satan is bad, guess who created him?
Mm.
So any man or woman who hasn't made his decision has already made his decision. If I would have passed in that accident, I would have been all right because I know where I'm going after this because
mm-hmm.
I'm a good person. I treat people good, and I believe. It ain't had to take no accident. I've been believing. I've been close to him. I just got closer.
With that said, they always say everything happens for a reason.
Did
you find a reason in that?
My purpose, like Beyonce said, connect the dots.
Right.
I spread love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to make those laugh, to be good to those, and spread love. And the times we living in now, that's what God said. Go back down there and spread love, man.
So that's what you enjoy doing. That's what the purpose
is. That's my way of doing that. My vehicle doing that is my sense of humor. Nobody cared about my money. Nobody cared. So people came on the show and said,
"No, Damon Wayans kid."
All they thinking about now, they got 90 million. No, this wasn't a career shift. This was a terrible accident.
Right.
I listened to the interview with Damon Wayans, and Damon Wayans is a good man, great guy. He's one of the inspirations that made me want to do comedy. But as far as speaking on finances, nobody knows what's in my pocket but my wife and me, and the lawyer and my business manager. Nobody. On this planet. And if that were true, if it was 90 million over 5 years, because it's spread all over the world, that Tracy Moore got 90 million, no, nobody knows how much I got. Because that was true, Walmart would have sued the S out of me.
Right.
Because that was confidential. That was confidential. I don't discuss finance with nobody that don't sleep in my bed. And when you discuss finances on stage, it separates you from your audience.
That's true.
Disconnects you from your audience. So when I'm on stage, people just happy to see me.
All right,
they don't care about what you got or they don't care about that. They just happy you alive.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to see nobody die in no accident like that. That's a lot of steel. Homeboy was doing 65 miles per hour.
Damn.
With 85,000 pounds of frozen food in the back.
Damn.
And he woke up at the last minute and tried to turn left. Now, you're not stopping that.
Right.
Only going uphill can stop something that big and that fast.
That powerful, right?
Guess what stopped it that night? My friend's life. Mm-hmm. And that's how powerful life is. One life could put out the sun, but we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We don't try to help one another and do and be good to. We just don't. Mm-hmm. Just don't.
All right. Well, we got more with Tracy Morgan when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
If I'd have met you in high school, you'd have been done.
Oh, pregnant? She'd been pregnant already, Tracy?
Yeah, that was my shorty.
Oh, my God.
You like them exotic types?
Oh, yeah.
What's exotic?
Stop. You. You know you're exotic. Come on, man. You know she looked good. That'd have been mine. Yo, come here, man. You wouldn't have never ate school lunch. I'd have sent you up to the ad to get McDonald's with like $10 and some coupons. Go get your girlfriend some Big Macs, man.
Condom or no condom?
No condom.
Okay.
Nah, if you ain't willing to die for it, you really don't want it.
Gotcha.
You don't want it. You don't want it. You had time to rip open packages? You ain't want it? Ah, brother. Ah.
I tell
you,
beware of that woman who doesn't want you to wear a
That's
condom.
Right. I'm going, we're bond.
That means he's not using a condom.
I'm making babies. I'm trying to break Bob Marley record. You know my style. No, I don't be pulling
you.
Out.
You got
I don't be,
out.
I don't pull out. What? You pulled out? Ah! Brothers! Ah! He ain't even in the cypher no more.
He got five kids and he talking about he pull out.
Knock it off. I'm seeing him in Africa and all of that.
Not Africa, man.
You want that? Didn't know. Where did y'all see
the Maldives?
Yeah, that's what
Maldives.
My wife showed me that. But we planning on going to Africa in December.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be the first one to go back in my generation in 500 years.
That's wow.
I'm going to curse somebody out. And then I'll start my vacation.
You going
to? Because we waited. We waited for y'all to come get us.
Now, we talked about, you know, why we do it. You said, I want to make sure my family is good, you know?
Yeah.
But now that your family is good, does that still make you, give you that hunger
I'm
for
still
comedy?
Hungry.
Why?
Because I love making people laugh. I get a joy out of that. I'm still hungry. I still approach it like I ain't got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And that was from day one. Day one when I was on Def Jam. I ain't got nothing to lose. I go out there, I let go, and I let God. Because nobody can touch me in that world. That's my world. And I'm going to paint a picture for you. If you come see me, I'm going to take you through a journey. My show ain't no comedy show. Mine's is an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what make us laugh? The truth. People don't laugh at lies. Lies hurt. People laugh at the truth because they can identify with it and relate with it. When you on stage and you tell them, Richard never lied to us.
Never lied. All true.
Richard, why you think we loved him?
Word up.
Because he never lied to us. He was that uncle that came over there. Your mother said, I want you over there with him. He gave you your first sip of beer on his butt nip. Here, take some. Go ahead, take some. Go ahead. Carry up. Give me some. Give me back. He was that uncle. I'm that uncle. You come see me, it's not about me ripping into you because I got the mic. I don't use the stage as a bully pulpit.
Right.
To tear someone else down and make them feel bad. They didn't pay money to come see you for you to do that to them. I got enough messed up stuff about me. I can talk about me all day long. You got time? So that's how I get down. I want people leaving there feeling good. Even if it's at the expense of me. I'm into people feeling good. That's why I only listen to feel-good music. The unsung hero at the jam. You remember?
But you riding around in the Lambo,
at the
too.
The jam, huh? Yeah, but I keep it good, you know what I'm saying?
Like what?
Because I'm riding around looking good.
What you listening to?
On the way here, I was listening to Just Like Music.
Just
by Irv
Like
Sherman.
Music.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, one song away. Yeah, happiness. One song away. Never mind. Just put me back to my man. I started thinking about Kevin Hart.
He was up here yesterday.
It's my man. It's my man. Me and him go back. I love him. People don't know about his struggle in the game. But I do. And I just said, I hope he stay with it, because he's one joke away from being who he is now. Mm-hmm. You do your thing, homie. I see guys out here that be having 10 and 20 women. I say, you one woman away from happiness. One woman away, baby. One woman, you got to stick with it. She out there. Same thing with women. 20 men. Yeah, you one man away from happiness. Mm-hmm. One
well,
man, stick
mind.
With it. Yeah, you going to be happy. He out there. The man that's going to love you right, he out there.
Right.
You got to unfold your arms and welcome
sorry.
Him in. Let him in. Let him in. Because when you doing this, you signify. Don't enter my space. What man want to approach you, he love you already. He loved you from the last life. But you like this and God and don't approach me. And come on, man. Let the love. Remember with Pebbles, let the sun shine in.
Yeah.
You got to let it shine in.
Pebbles still fine. You seen Pebbles lately?
Pebbles, oh. I ain't gonna speak on me. Me and Pebble go back. Bedrock.
Old flame, old flame.
Yeah, Bedrock. Yeah, Pebble. Barney, Bam Bam, guy tried to start beef for me, but
got you.
Yeah, you got his ass whooped.
Boy, true.
Now,
Bam,
how hard Bam. Is it for you though? Like, you know, obviously you're very happily married, and you're saying just let love in. But it has to be hard because you're Tracy Morgan. So I'm sure when you've been dating, how do you know that's the one?
How do you know that's the one? Only you know that. I couldn't tell you the way she made me feel. Mm-hmm. That's all I can speak for. You'll know when it's the one. You'll know he knew. He knows.
I know.
We all know. That's something you got to judge for yourself. Mm-hmm. You'll know. Just be patient, young lady. Because everything in time will reveal itself. Friends, loved ones, all that will reveal itself. Mm-hmm. But you have to be patient. When you get to a certain age, you know it's a virtue. When you want to know something about somebody else, you learn to shut up, because they can't wait to tell you what their intent is with you, what their plans are with you, how they plan on treating you. But be patient. Just be quiet and listen. I used to go to clubs when I was single, and I'd get with a girl, and I'd just listen. She'll let you know how mature she is, and then you go, it was nice meeting you. Go this way. I never went to the clubs with intent. I'm going to club just to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Not to chase nobody, not to pick nothing up. I'm just going to have a good time by myself. And when women see you having a good time, they go, wow, I want to be a part of that magic. Everything you want, as long as you stay in the right lane and keep God first, everything your pretty little heart wants will gravitate right to you. I ain't never chased nobody. It always came to me.
I was going to say, I did see you one time a long time ago out by
why
yourself.
Why you ain't say nothing to me then?
But that's how I know
you
that
do that about
too.
Three, 4 kids now.
The whole yeah, way, exactly. The whole
I'm
way
not pulling
you
out with that.
It? I'm not going to lie.
I want babies. I put that cocoa butter on your stomach every night. Tracy, bring me up one of them beef patties.
But just how you describe that, I was with my friend one time. We were in Times Square, and they had this 24-hour arcade.
I remember.
Tracy Morgan was in there. He took his shirt off.
Oh, that's when the party starts. When Tracy Morgan's shirt
off.
Oh, the party just started. And that's how it's going down. That's just how it's going down. That's just how it went down.
We were like, look, there go Tracy Morgan.
You know where I got that? I got that from being little and watching my aunt and my uncle's party back in the day. And my uncle Fatty Love, his shirt always came out, and the party just started.
Have you toned down on that, or you still do it now?
No, I'll be in bed by 9:30. I don't get down. I ain't partied in 10 years,
not
man.
Not even on New Year's?
I'm 47 years old, brother.
Yeah.
No, I don't drink. I don't do none of that. I've been clean like 11, 12 years now.
Nice. Okay, we got more with Tracy Morgan when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Bryson Tiller with Exchange. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tracy Morgan is in the building. Now, you got a baby girl, right?
Yeah, my daughter.
How old?
I'm 3 now.
Nice.
Oh, she just started dance class 2 days ago. But that's what my world is, my wife, my sons, and my daughter. You know, I almost lost them.
Right.
You know, that's my trauma that I suffer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's my Vietnam, because I was on tour. It was called the Make It Funny, Turn It Funny Tour. because I was sitting down one day and I said, all these bad things that ever happened in my life, I'm going to turn funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my agent up and we set up a tour and I was on tour. She's teething. She had a fever. Stay home with the baby. I'll be right back. I'm going to drop a bag of funny and I'll bring back a bag of money. She said, cool. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You think about your family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my trauma. So I was like, this is my wife and my kid. You know, I'm still working on it now, but I'm just so overprotective because of that. You know, when I'm not there, I don't want nothing bad to happen.
I feel like that every day.
Like a sense of paranoia.
That's where your faith has to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Your paranoia, that's a demon. And it has to be dealt with courage and faith.
That you have to have something else, though.
Yeah, but you can get over it.
You know, the other day,
listen to me. I just said the word faith.
I called 911.
Faith.
I didn't tell nobody.
Can't do that because you destroy them with that.
Yeah, you're right.
You hurt them with that.
Family.
But that, I understand. Man. But God didn't give you, he didn't give you that to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you that to settle you down and ground you and all those things. So you have to have faith in him.
Absolutely.
That he will protect them. It's way strong. Sade said it. Go home and do your homework. You used to listen to Sade.
I love Sade.
Have a good cry. Have a good cry because things been going so well for you in your life and you. Yeah, and you. Right. Sometimes you just got to have a good cry.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know you still got something inside of you. I cry all the time. Nobody, I don't want to see nobody suffering. There's too much beef. I don't know beef.
Too much negativity.
Yeah, because what come around don't go around. What come around is coming back around. You can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not come back to you. It might come back to somebody close to you, so you live with it.
Mm.
But you put out into the world, it's coming back. You can believe that. Trust when I tell you. So it's all good to be good. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You ain't hurting nobody. It feels good. Just say, I love you.
I love you.
Say, I love you, man. It feels good. It just does. Believe me, the accident, it matures you. It can mature you. If you don't want to grow up, you want to still have arrested development, you still want to do the things you did at 17.
Something wrong.
Watch this.
Tracy Morgan, now let's end this with a prayer, brother.
My brother.
Jehovah, please watch over us. Please protect us. Please give us the strength. Please give us love. Please show us a different way in this world. Please guide us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Brother Tracy.
There you go. It's Tracy Morgan. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.